This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for listening as we wrap up the Back to School series. We spent the last couple of weeks, for the most part, talking to area educators as the school year begins, talked to a number of superintendents. But today, as things evolve this week, we get to talk to the Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year, just getting that honor on Monday, Sherry Carson from Roseburg High School, who's busy teaching today, but stepping out to do this. Sherry, thanks for being on the radio with us.
You're welcome.
So you were named the Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year on Monday, and I'm always curious, did you know this was even a possibility?
I did know it was a possibility because when the nomination section comes open, if you are nominated, then they contact you. It's around the end of January, first part of February. And they let you know that you were nominated, and then there's a deadline for you to answer some questions and fill out a couple of other papers. And then you send it in, but then you don't hear anything back until the fall. So you kind of forget about it. And so when they announced it on Monday, it was a surprise because you just don't hear anything for so long, and so you kind of forget. And so it was a nice way to start the week this week.
So what did they do at RHS Monday? Did you get called into a meeting that you thought was for something else, or what happened?
So it was our regularly scheduled staff meeting that we had, but we usually, it's our teachers that are in the staff meeting unless we have something big that's happening, and then they call everyone in. So our instructional assistants and all of that also, and support staff. And so I knew that they had called in everyone, and there was district office personnel there also. And then we kind of just started our meeting as normal. And then after we did our normal celebrations, then the announcement from the Oregon Lottery came out.
Well, I know at that point, did you, with the admin people there and the district office people, did you look around and wonder just exactly what's going on? Why are they here today?
I did kind of wonder why they were there, but they do come sometimes for various things, like if we're trying to start something new or something like that, sometimes they will come and help be supportive and provide information on that. So it still didn't give it away to me that this could be a possibility.
So talk about your job at Roseburg High School. It seems kind of fascinating. Explain to people what you do there.
So originally I was the culinary arts and hospitality instructor. And out of the hospitality class, we run a catering business. And so I have done that the majority of my time at Roseburg High School. And as part of that, we have what we call programs of study for our CTE department programs. And so my hospitality program of study also requires that we have a career technical student organization. And so we have FCCLA for that one, which is Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. And I'm the lead advisor on that. I do have an assistant advisor, which is our early childhood ed instructor, that is the other advisor to help me out. And then I started teaching driver ed for UCC before I came back here to Roseburg to teach. And then as things got busier and busier here, they were short driver ed instructors here in the Roseburg district. And so it was easier for my schedule to just move over into the Roseburg Public Schools driver ed. So I do that four different sessions each year. And I originally, when I went to high school here, I got certified as an instructor for first aid and CPR. And so I have been doing those classes all along. And so I provide the first aid CPR classes for the staff here in the district and for our student workers that are in the daycare center. And then back in 2014, I became the division leader over the career technical department and the Perkins Grant Coordinator, which is the grant that supports career and technical education. And as part of that, I am also a CTE mentor for any of our new staff because we need to have somebody that knows about CTE to be able to mentor them. And then last year, due to changes in staffing and that sort of thing and some new programs I was adding, not only do I have my CTE hospitality licensure and my FACS degree, which covers the culinary arts, but I have a CTE health science degree for the hands-on applications and a PE health certification for K through 12. And so I took on the intro classes for our new health science programs. So they take my two intro classes, and then they have the opportunity to apply for one of our new programs that we put on. So I introduced the nurse assistant program at the start of the pandemic. So this is its fifth year. And this year we have started the phlebotomy class and the EMT and the fire science class.
Wow. How do you keep track of this? You're going a lot of different directions, and that's a very unique pairing. I'm not sure I've ever heard of anybody doing all those different things at the same time.
It can be difficult. It can be a scheduling nightmare. So I just rely on my calendar. I pencil things in to make sure everything's covered. And all the areas that I cover are something that I'm very passionate about. And so I've just always done a little bit of each one of those, and being able to put them all together and do that as my job is great for me because I get the best of all worlds that way.
Now, if I heard correctly, you graduated from Roseburg High?
I did graduate from Roseburg High School.
So what is it, I mean, you've been back for quite a while, but what's it like to teach at a school that you went to? Does that, and obviously a lot of building things have changed as well.
Yeah, lots of things have changed, and it was kind of weird when I first came back teaching with the teachers that were my teachers still, and even going to school here, some of them were also the teachers of my aunts and uncles. Before I got here, and my mom. And so as they started to retire and new people came in and you start getting more years in, that makes it a little easier. But I still have a couple that I work with that were here when I was in high school here. One of them is my supervisor for driver education also. It's a good thing because we know each other. We know how things, each other works so that we can work together easier. But there definitely has been some changes with the arts building. That was something that I was a part of because I was in the old building doing culinary arts, which was the old student center building, and having to get that all packed up and how we had to move that and that to be able to get into the new arts building. And then we added the new main building to the front. And now recently we've added the modulars in the back and moved people out of the heritage building. So it's been nice to be a part of that and see the changes, but it's also been a little crazy in the process of trying to do that also.
Now, when did you know that you wanted to be a teacher?
So that's kind of a unique one because from the age of five, I always knew that I either wanted to be a teacher or a funeral home director.
And that is like that's quite a list. That doesn't even fit on the same plate. That's amazing.
Right. And so those were my two that I was going with the whole time. And then teaching kind of won out, because at that time it was a little less schooling to be an educator than it was to be the funeral home director. And so I ended up then, it was, what subject do I want to teach? Because there were tons of subject areas that I loved. And I decided on PE and health, because my PE and health teachers throughout my education career really made an impact on me. And so I actually went to school for that first, and I went to Western Oregon University, which was Western Oregon State College at the time, and they still had a cadaver lab. And so for your anatomy and physiology and all of that, you got to work on cadavers. So I kind of got the best of both worlds. I got a little bit of both things there. And then I got my family and consumer studies license. And then my experience in, I had a great aunt that had a store with a deli in it. And so I would help work there in the summers. And I've always loved to cook. And so with my industry experience in that, that helped me get the hospitality side of my culinary arts certificate. And then I already had the stuff for my health science piece of it. My hands-on stuff came from working with family members who were sick and needed different things. And as part of my PE health degree, I also at one point in time had started kind of down the EMT track and the athletic trainer track. And so those kind of meshed to help me have my hands-on experience to be able to get the health science CTE license.
Wow. Sherry Carson, Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year. More when we come back in 1 minute. The interview of podcasts after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County at 1247 from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County's program Monday, State Senator David Brock-Smith will be with us. We're talking about the Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year. Sherry Carson with us today, getting the honor on Monday. And the Oregon Lottery is tied in with that. What goes, or how does all this work? Kind of explain their role in that as best you know it.
So, They open up nominations, and people from the community, other teachers, students, anyone can nominate a teacher for Oregon Teacher of the Year. And then they go through and send out notifications to the teachers that were nominated. And you have a packet of information to do, and you have to turn in a picture of yourself and that also, and things that you want to do as a teacher, what things you've done, that sort of thing. And then you submit that off to the state and to the regional coordinator for your ESD region. And then they notify the winner in the fall.
And then, so it's quite the interesting process there. When you look at your role at the high school, why are programs like what you're doing so important alongside things like math and reading and all of that?
Well, for one, not everyone is cut out to go to college, for one thing. And we offer the hands-on things for the kids that especially thrive on learning by doing things. We do offer many classes that have dual credit, which means that they are getting high school credit and college credit for those classes if they choose. And as part of our classes, many of them offer what we call industry-recognized credentials. So, for example, in welding, they can get some of their welding certifications out of the way for their AWS so that they can go straight into an entry-level job. For our automotive, we offer several of the ASE certifications, which are required in the industry. And then there are pretty much there is some type of certification that's offered in every one of our CTE programs that we have. And with our new health science ones, at the end of the school year, the kids that were selected to be a part of that program take their state boards to get their certified nurse assistant one license. This year, the phlebotomy and the EMT and the fire science will do the same thing. So then once they have their certificate, then they can go right out into industry.
Wow. Big shift there. Now, how many kids do you interact with in a typical week?
Well, for me, that's a lot because I have my own kids that I work with. And then because I'm mentoring a few of the teachers still in my department, several of their students I interact with, and I'm helping with another two CTSOs. So I have those kids, the driver ed kids. And then in my spare time, on Friday nights that we have home games, I can be found in the student section checking IDs to let kids in. So it's a few hundred kids that I'm interacting with every day because we also have a coffee shop here that I started on campus. And so I work in that in the mornings and I get them started at lunch. And so I don't have an exact number, but it's a few hundred every day that I'm dealing with.
Now, I'm a big proponent of coffee, so the coffee shop part got my attention there. How did that all get put together?
So it was put together as a stable type of fundraiser for the CTSO because it's very expensive to go to our state and national conferences. And we have so many different programs here at Roseburg High School that trying to fundraise the amount of money that we need for kids, because not every kid has the money to do this, is very hard because we're very limited as to what we can do to fundraise because everybody has to fill out paperwork as to what you're going to do. And some of the really good ones were already taken by other groups and they do it year after year after year. And the things like candy and wrapping paper and things like that were good, but people don't really buy those very much anymore. So you're not really making very much money off of it. We do make a little bit by a partnership that we have with the fairgrounds to help cater and things like that. But we needed more of a stable way to do that. And kids would leave campus and they would be late to school. They'd be late coming back from lunch because they would be in line at one of the shops trying to get something. And so we do have some parameters on what we can and can't sell, but we have enough items that we are able to do that we keep several of the kids here on campus. They don't have to go off campus to do that now. And it's helped with tardies in the morning. With kids trying to grab something on their way, or with our ninth and 10th graders that can't get a off-campus pass, they would sometimes give upperclassmen money to grab them something and bring it back at lunch. And sometimes that didn't always happen. So sometimes that would cause an issue. And here they can just get their own and not have to worry about it.
So I've got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
What are some of the big highlights for you about doing what you've done at RHS?
I would say creating the new programs and just I was part of a Revite grant that we did in 2014-15 where we went through the manufacturing shops, so the welding shop, the drafting area, the wood shop, and we got industry standard equipment. We have some of the same equipment that people in their shops and some of the big corporations have in their shop areas that they're using. In a couple of cases, ours is even newer than theirs. And so the kids are getting trained on the industry equipment that they would go out into these places and work with. So it's not, they're not the old shops that people remember. They, that type of equipment and stuff has been sent away quite a while ago. We have many more CNC machines. We have the latest welders and the latest machines for in the auto industry, and we're just trying to keep up when we can to keep getting more of the older stuff out and getting the newer stuff in. And so we always offer, if anybody wants to ever come and see the shops, to make an appointment and come see that so they can see that maybe they remember the old shop when they went to school here, but they're not the old shops anymore.
And 30 seconds, what are your future plans?
My future plans, and my administration probably will not be happy with me about this, but I have some more programs that I want to add. So I want to help the industry and our area. So I'm going to push for electrical and HVAC, dental assistant, maybe a police academy, and maybe cosmetology.
All right. Never with a spare moment. Sherry Carson, no wonder you're the Douglas Regional Teacher of the Year. Thanks for being on this afternoon, telling us about your career.
Thank you.
1258, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.